Welcome to the Words of Grace podcast, where we seek to clarify, amplify, and apply the Sunday morning sermon at Grace Community Church. From time to time, we'll address other topics. We hope these podcasts help you press the Word of God into your everyday life.
Good afternoon. Today is August the 2nd, and this is another Words of Grace podcast. And I say another, but it's also been a month since we've done one.
It's almost like the first podcast.
It's like the first. Well, you got to refresh even ourselves of what we're actually doing
in this room. I know it. And I didn't preach for a month, so I had to get my legs there the first 5 minutes of the sermon.
What am I doing? So what were you doing? So we had took a month off from preaching, which we also took a month off from the podcast.
Yeah.
So kind of what were you doing in that month?
Oh, man, it was a month of sipping drinks by the beach. No,
by
the water. No, no, not at all. I spent a month here in Nashville working, doing my normal pastoral work with the staff and with people and meetings and that sort of thing. But the free time that I had because I wasn't preaching, I spent studying.
Yeah,
just reading, thinking on two levels. One, about our church. Mm-hmm. The future, you know, it has been a crazy year and a half in the world and in the church. So thinking about the future, but also getting ready to preach the Gospel of John, which we started on Sunday.
Yeah.
So just spend some time reading and meditating and getting myself ready.
Yeah, good. So you just mentioned it. We're in the book of John. And so maybe a refresher, maybe there's some new people that have been coming to Grace that are picking up this podcast. So, you know, every Monday we normally take the Sunday sermon and the text that was preached, and we take time to clarify some stuff maybe in there, amplify something that you talked about. We want to kind of go a little further that you didn't have time for and maybe apply some of it. So we do that during these podcasts.
And if you don't mind, let me even back up a little further because, again, we do have a lot of new people coming to Grace right now. And also, it's just sort of a re-entry for many of our people who've been at Grace for a long time. So maybe this is a good reminder.
Yeah.
And that is we at Grace, congregationally, we are generally speaking in a book of the Bible. And then the way we approach that is we take a passage from that book, the next passage from that book each week. And usually, I keep qualifying with usually and generally because we do have exceptions. But usually on Friday, I'll send out a little brief teaser or a part of the sermon or something I just want to do very devotionally. It's called the Words of Grace. And it comes to you by email. It's also online. And then I think there are other ways it's posted. But it's called Words of Grace. 500 words or so about the passage or a portion of the passage coming up on Sunday. Then on Sunday, we preach it. Then on Monday, you and I do a podcast about it. As you said, this is a verbal. And we do clarify, amplify, and apply. And then very often we take it even further in that it becomes the discussion passage for a community group. So if you put all that together, we're trying to say, you know, four times in a given week, we're trying to do something with the passage of Scripture that our church is meditating on and seeking to apply to their lives in any given week.
Which is great if you think about it, Scott, because a lot of times, and it's I mean, every church does something different. This isn't to downplay what other churches do, but I think for us, you know, it's you go on a Sunday and you listen to the sermon, and it takes a while to kind of think through that. And so it's good to have some different touches before and after just to be thinking and pondering and meditating on the text. And and as you said on Sunday, we could swim in John chapter 1 for the rest of our lives and keep swimming and swimming and swimming. So it's a great, great thing, a practice to be having these different touches with the text.
That's the aim.
So we are in the book of John. Let me just say that again, I think I got vetoed again on what to preach at Grace. You know, it's so funny, Scott. I, at times I think like my wife, Lucy, will ask me things like, you know, what do you think we should do on this wall, you know, in the living room? And I'll give a suggestion and she goes, okay, thanks. And we never
do something else. What did you want to do?
Well, you asked Mark or John.
Oh, okay.
And I suggested Mark, but I still like John, so don't come.
Well, you can't go wrong either way.
Yes, you can't. But it's I'm very excited about the book of John. John chapter 1 is just one of my favorite chapters of the Bible. Such a good thing. So let's start here. Before we get into your outline, in your sermon, you talked about how we as a congregation can be praying as we walk through the book of John. I think it's a good place to start, Scott,
because
what a great book, and what even better encouragement to be praying through it as a congregation. So talk about that. How can we be praying as a church as we, and maybe why as we walk through the book of John?
Good way to start this. And I do want to say, yes, I closed the service, the sermon yesterday by saying, pray for these things. Got an email when I got home. Somebody had summarized the prayer request and sent them back out.
That's great.
Got a text message today from a church member praying. So people are doing it.
I love that.
So what did I ask? I'm asking our church to pray during this season. I think every season is an important season. I don't mean to be dramatic.
Yeah.
But I do think this season is especially important. I think that the Lord is working in the lives of people. This difficult year and a half or longer season that we've been in the world, in our country, in among Christians and in the church, is a great opportunity for the Spirit to work. I keep going back to, I heard a quote that Charles Spurgeon used, and then I think it actually goes back to someone else before him, a Puritan before him. So I'm not really sure the origin of this statement, but it says, "Man's extremity is God's opportunity."
Right.
I typically think that man's extremity is extreme. Mm-hmm. It's bad. Mm-hmm. It's I can go there, but Spurgeon and others have said man's extremity is God's opportunity. When we are at the end of ourselves, when we are at rock bottom, when we have no more resources, when Pharaoh is coming from one end and there's a sea at the other end, and we are in extreme situation, God saves.
Yeah.
So it seems like we've been in somewhat of an extreme situation, and I'm praying.
Yeah.
That the Holy Spirit will use John as God's opportunity to awaken his church.
That's good.
So, four prayers. One, I'm asking that each Sunday, when we open our Bibles, that the ministry of the Holy Spirit, through preaching and through meditation on the Word, gives us a very, very clear word, picture, vision of Jesus.
Yeah.
Second, I'm praying that people will be prepared by the Holy Spirit to hear that word. That's, you know, Jesus talks about that, the four soils.
Yep.
And three soils not prepared to hear, one soil is. And that soil, that heart, that person bears fruit. Third, I'm praying that this study in John will result in the church, and specifically our church, Grace Community Church, returning to our first love.
Yeah.
As Jesus said to the church in the book of Revelation, that the apostle John, same John that wrote John the Gospel, wrote the Revelation, said, "You've lost your first love." So I'm praying that we'll return to our first love as we see Christ, who is our first love, in the Gospel of John. Fourth, let's pray for the power of the Holy Spirit to actually convert people to Christ, that people will actually become Christians, be saved, become followers of Jesus, that the Holy Spirit will give the new birth to people, to be born of God. So, I mean, there you go. So I'm asking our congregation to join together and let's all be praying for these things as we work our way through this gospel.
Yeah, I'm glad that you mentioned the parable of the soil. That's something I was thinking about when you were asking us to pray. And I thought about how our hearts have to really be prepared to hear the word. Mm-hmm. There's a lot that goes into God preparing our heart to hear that. And so, man, what a great way to begin to pray for my own heart as you're preaching the book of John, because I've got a lot to learn. And then as a congregation as a whole, how we can be hearing this. Mm-hmm. And man, Scott, I was thinking about how I love the Gospels that we get introduced to Jesus. And I thought more and more, man, I hope that we catch a vision of Jesus wanting to save sinners, that we catch that vision in our city, in our neighborhoods, in our communities, that we'd say, man, that's why I want to go out and I want to be that to people. So great. Well, give us a little bit of an outline from Sunday. I know you were in John chapter 1, the very beginning.
Yeah.
But give us a little bit of an overview of that sermon.
Okay. There are many Bible commentators and scholars that break the chapter down. Particularly, let's say the first 18 verses, because John 1, 1 through 18 are what we call the prologue. And then at verse 19, you jump into more of the narrative and the teaching. And so the prologue, the first 18 verses, are divided in various ways by people. And I took probably the simplest way, and that is just two main parts of it. And they both have to do with what's called the Word. In the beginning was the Word. So there's part one, verse one, the Word. And then he defines or describes the Word, which is eternal, which is creator, which is personal, calls him he, the Word. And then there's the witness of John, and then there's the reception of people or non-reception of people, and those who do believe and receive become the children of God. So that's part one. The Word is eternal. The Word was in the beginning. The Word was with God. The Word was God. Second part, the Word becomes flesh. That's verse 14. And so the same Word that is in the beginning with God, that is God, is now, he says, in the flesh, has taken on flesh and dwelt among us. That's John's way of saying he came to earth as a man. And so you have now the eternal Word is now the Word in time. God, the Word is now, or the Word that is God is now the Word that is man. And then there's a witness of John, and then there the people who receive him receive grace upon grace. So two parts, the eternal Word and the Word in time. And then the point we made is that John, toward the end of that prologue, actually uses his name.
Yeah.
Gives him a name. And his name is Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
So this is Christianity. This is it.
Yeah.
That there's this man. Really, we should say there's this God-man who lived in history 2,000 years ago. John the Apostle heard him, touched him, talked to him, ate with him, walked with him. You know, he was there. A physical body, a man, a God-man. His name is Jesus. And he is the eternal Word of God, who is God, and through all things came into being. And he is that Word who became flesh, took humanity to himself. So that's it. I mean, and we're to believe him and to follow him.
If you so when you were preaching, I thought this is very foundational to Christianity, very foundation to the person of Christ, who he is and was. And so if you think about this being this foundation that we're setting about who Jesus is, why is this so important for us, even as Christians, are to believe? I mean, why is this so found? Like, what's so important about this?
Well, all right. So I'm going to say this is just as plain as I can say it, okay? If you don't understand Jesus Christ as he is actually revealed in the Bible, like in the Gospel of John, you don't understand Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ is not someone that we get to make into our own creation, our own image. Jesus Christ is.
Yeah.
And he's independent of us. And John, along with Matthew and Mark and Luke and the rest of Scripture, really all the Bible, is telling us who he is. So we have to read and understand who Jesus is based on how he's revealed in the Bible, so that we are actually believing in and following the real Jesus, like the right person. Or else, if we don't stay in John and say, okay, John 1:1 tells us that based on him being identified as Jesus Christ, that the Word Jesus Christ is God. And then John 1:14 tells us that Jesus Christ is God who took humanity to himself, became flesh, now is God-man. If we don't get those two things about Jesus, then what we'll come away with is something that we create ourselves. We'll say, oh, okay, well, Jesus is a man, but he's not God. He's a good man. He's better than me, but he's not God. Well, then we don't have a Savior.
Right.
Or we could say, well, Jesus is God, but, you know, I can't relate to him because he doesn't understand my life. He's not a man. He didn't become flesh like me. He didn't know my temptations and my sorrows. No, that's not right either.
Right.
He became a man. He's God, man. And so if we don't get what the Bible says about Jesus Christ, we don't really get Jesus Christ. We're just making up somebody in our own image. And that's not, no one comes to know God through somebody that we make up on our own.
Yeah.
We can only come to know God through this one who is revealed in the Bible, Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Yeah, and I love that you're right. I feel like John 1 does this beautiful job of showing Jesus as exalted and lifted up God, mm-hmm. but then personable.
Yeah.
He dwelt, what you said on Sunday, tabernacled among mm-hmm. you. He mm-hmm. drew near, he touched, mm-hmm. So there's this beautiful both.
Yes.
Which is so great to see, which I think sets Christianity mm-hmm. apart from every other world religion.
It's the essence of it.
Yeah.
It is the essence of Christianity. You know, mm-hmm. God made flesh, God becoming a man.
Mm-hmm. Good. So here's the last question mm-hmm. we can maybe leave on this. So you talked about how we can pray. We kind of talked a little about the sermon and how this is foundational. But because you've been studying the book of John this last month, mm-hmm. you know, thinking about it. Is there any other hopes that you have coming out of this book? You talked about why John now, but is there any returning to Jesus? Anything else as you kind of dream for Grace Community Church coming through this season? Like, mm-hmm. what are you, anything else that you think as a pastor you're hoping for?
Well, maybe I've said it already, but I'll kind of say it in a slightly different way. Yes, I hope that I hope a distracted church can regain her focus on Jesus.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know how else to say that.
Yeah.
I would put it this way. That's one. I'll get to the second one in a moment. But the first thing I would hope is that a distracted church can regain her focus and regain her love.
Yeah.
For Christ. And it dawned on me that Christianity now, Christians and churches are so distracted. Are we even talking about Christ? What name is spoken most on a Sunday morning in a given congregation? Mm-hmm. Whose name? Mm-hmm. Who do we hope in?
Yeah.
If Christians were to just stop for a moment and say, what is my hope for the future? Would it be Jesus Christ? I'm not sure.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm just not sure.
Yeah.
Because we have talked about and focused on so many other things and so many other people and so many other causes and so many other ways that I'm just sensing that in the average congregation, Jesus Christ is just not the focus.
Yeah.
And I'm hoping that a distracted church in general and our congregation can return to focusing our attention, our eyes on Jesus.
Yeah.
And then the second thing I'm hoping is that exhausted people will come to Jesus.
Yeah.
And we've been talking about this for months
here
at Grace. And I think it's going to happen. I mean, I'm still praying that people, human beings who are made in the image of God, who God loves and who we love as people who have been the recipients of grace, our hearts only expand in love that more people would come to know God's grace, we're praying that this exhaustion would set in. Because people are exhausted, they're searching every way. They're looking for ways to signal their own virtue and justify themselves and join the right cause and be on the right side and say the right thing and follow the right person and, you know, tweet the right tweet and all that. It's this attempt at finding ourselves and at justifying ourselves and really finding our own salvation in these things, and they're all gonna fall flat.
Mm-hmm.
There, none of them are going to last. And so the exhaustion that sets in there could be, you know, man's extremity is God's opportunity.
Right.
Could be that exhaustion, that extreme, just I can't find any other hope in this world, can be the moment that the Holy Spirit uses for someone to say, I need to find out about Christ.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm hoping for, that exhausted people will come to know Jesus and hear him say something like, hey, if you're thirsty, come to me and drink.
Yeah.
You know, if you're weary and heavy laden, come to me. I'll give you the rest.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you're hungry, I'm the bread of life.
Yeah.
You know, if you're alone and wandering aimlessly, hey, I'm the shepherd.
Yeah.
If you feel disconnected from God, guess what? I'm the door.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you're dead, I'm the life.
Yeah.
I mean, these are the words of Jesus.
Yeah.
So.
Well, great. Well,
I can preach, man. I'm sorry.
No, it's good. I'm looking forward to this journey in the book of John and just to bring it back around where we started, just as you're listening to this, be praying for our congregation as we're walking through John, and as you interact with this, with maybe your community group, just be praying as a group through the book of John. What a powerful book. We're excited to be in it. Thanks, Scott.
All right. Thanks.